Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Bernie Sanders, what's the chain CPI?
Alan, the way we determine COLAs, cost of living adjustments, has to do with the government making a guess, if you like, or doing studies on how much inflation is. Now, you know, you bought a number of products this year. How much more are you paying for it than you paid last year?
Mm-hmm.
And the consumer price index is what that is about. So right now, the government has an approach by which they determine how much, if anything, cost of living adjustments are going up for seniors. How much more are seniors spent this year than last year? There's a particular formulation. What the chained consumer price index is about is saying, we think, and people will laugh when they hear this, we think that the way we determine cost of living adjustments for seniors and for disabled veterans has been too generous, and that it gives seniors too much in terms of their COLAs. And without going into all of the details, what a chain CPI about, essentially what it says is, look, if you're going to a grocery store and the cost of chicken is going up, we shouldn't calculate the fact that chicken went up by 10%, hypothetically. We should also bring into the equation the fact that if chicken went up too much, you can go to hamburger, which is cheaper. And if hamburger goes up too much, you can buy dog food. Dog food goes up too much, you can buy cat food. So it's a theory that says we have been too generous in what we provide seniors, which is hysterical when you think that the last 4 years, in two out of those 4 years, seniors have gotten zero. And in last year, I think they got a 1.7% increase in their COLA. The truth is that the way we formulate cost of living adjustments for seniors is not too generous. It is too skimpy, too stingy, because we don't fully take into account how seniors spend their money. How do seniors spend their money? They spend their money on health care, prescription drugs, food, and our part of the world keeping warm in the winter. All of those costs have gone up in recent years a lot more than inflation. Bottom line here, the politics of this is, for many, many years, as I think most listeners know, Republicans have not liked Social Security. Bush wanted to privatize Social Security. Other Republicans have wanted to cut Social Security. And sadly, very sadly, what President Obama has determined, in order to reach out to Republicans to kind of work on some grand bargain, he is going to offer up cuts in Social Security, which is what the chain CPI is about, not only impacting seniors, but also disabled veterans. And as chairman of the Veterans Committee, that to me is particularly upsetting. So that's what the chain CPI is about. What it would mean if it was implemented tomorrow, if you're 65 right now, by the time you are 75, you'd be losing about $650 a year. $650 a year. And if you're trying to get by on $15,000-$16,000 a year on Social Security, which many people in our part of the world do, that is a lot of money. So I've kind of helped lead the opposition to the chained CPI to say a couple of points. First of all, its theory is wrong. The benefits that seniors get is not too generous. They're probably inadequate. They probably do not fully take into account the cost that seniors are incurring. Number two, to talk about cutting Social Security as part of deficit reduction is total nonsense because, as everybody knows, Social Security is funded by the payroll tax and has not contributed one nickel to the deficit. So if we want to talk about how we make Social Security strong for the next 75 years, that's a good discussion, but it shouldn't be part of the deficit debate. Third point. Right now, everybody should understand this, because you're not going to hear this on TV tonight, maybe. When people talk about how Social Security is going broke, they are lying. Social Security today has a $2.6 trillion surplus, can pay out every benefit owed to every eligible American for the next 20 years. So what we need to do is to figure out how we make Social Security strong for 75 years, not 20 years. One of the ways to do it, and I've introduced legislation to do that, is to lift the cap on taxable income. Right now, Alan, if you are making, as I'm sure you are, at least $1 billion a year or $1 million a year.
About a billion, yeah.
At least a billion. You are contributing the same amount into the Social Security Trust Fund as somebody making about $113,000.
Because there's a cutoff at some point. Exactly, you don't pay after that, right?
Okay. Exactly. So if you take away that cap and you start at $250,000, you can solve the problem of Social Security for the next 50 or 60 years, and that's what we're fighting for. So this is a very, very important issue because you got a lot of seniors out there who are really struggling. You got disabled vets who've given all for their country. I mean, what more can we ask of somebody who loses their legs or their eyesight? Those are not the people who we should be cutting to do deficit reduction. Where we should be going is to ask the one out of four major corporations in this country that pay nothing in taxes. Companies like General Electric haven't paid a nickel in federal taxes in the last 5 years because they and many other large corporations are able to stash their money in the Cayman Islands and develop all kinds of subsidiaries and tax complicated tax procedures abroad in order to avoid paying their taxes. So we're losing a huge amount of money just by those tax loopholes and the tax havens that exist in the Cayman Islands. So before you cut Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid or education or veterans programs, you got to ask the wealthiest people and the largest corporations to start paying their fair share of taxes.
The likelihood of that happening?
Well, with the Republicans, I'll tell you something. I mean, clearly the Republicans are very adamant in not wanting the wealthy or large corporations to pay anything more in taxes. But interestingly enough, poll after poll shows that is exactly what the American people want. You ask the American people, should we ask the wealthy to pay more in taxes or should we cut Social Security? And whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, people say, wait, no, you don't cut Social Security. I'm dependent upon it. Don't cut Medicare. Do ask the wealthy. Because as we've previously discussed, people understand that the richest people in this country are just doing phenomenally well. Corporate tax rates, say the effective corporate tax rate is the lowest that it has been since 1972. And you got many corporations paying nothing in taxes. So we need to develop tax policy which is fair, which is progressive, and does not balance the budget on the backs of the vulnerable people in this country.
Well, the Republicans got their heads handed to them in the presidential election on many of these perceived issues.
Yeah. And
one wonders, are they stupid or what, that they're continuing on the same path?
They think, they're not stupid. They have their views, and their views are we are funded by big money, and we're going to protect big money.
Yeah, but they're going to lose elections. They see that now.
But you see, their point is, Alan, the answer is yes, and you're right, they have. But what the Democrats kind of manage to do very often is snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory here.
Correct.
And that is when you have the president now saying, well, maybe we should cut Social Security. Maybe I should raise premiums on Medicare. Maybe I should cut benefits for disabled vets. Then the average person is out there saying, look, yeah, I know the Republicans want to end Medicare as we know it. They want to devastate this Ryan budget, terrible budget. They want to devastate Medicaid, cut education. You know, you got some of these guys who believe that Social Security and Medicare are unconstitutional. But what the Democrats have not done, in my view, and certainly the president has not done, is come forth with a straightforward, progressive agenda that says to the middle class and the working families of this country, I am on your side. And no, we're not going to cut Social Security, but we are going to do away with these corporate loopholes. These guys are going to stop paying their fair share of taxes, and that's how we're going to do deficit reduction. And by the way, it's not just deficit reduction. That's an important issue. But we should remember that we got into the deficit because of Bush's wars in Iraq and Afghanistan that were not paid for, huge tax breaks to the wealthy, and a Wall Street-caused recession. So that what we are also going to focus on is not just deficit reduction. We've got to create many, many millions of jobs. One of the issues that upsets me more than anything else is not just the high level of unemployment. You know, officially unemployment, Alan, is 7.5%. Real unemployment is 13.9%, including those people who've given up looking for work and are working part-time. Youth unemployment, you know, people under 25, the numbers are much higher than that. That means young people graduating high school, graduating college, finding it very hard to get a decent-paying job. Yeah, sometimes they graduate college and they can get a job that doesn't require a college degree. That's the issue that we have got to be focusing on. I do not think the president and the Democrats have been as clear as they should about coming forward with that type of agenda.
Bernie Sanders, all I can say is thank you. I know how busy you are, and it's incredible that we have you, and we are very grateful. And I thank you.
Well, thank you, Alan. Keep up the great work.